wife Sarah, Clarence, Elizabeth, Phoebe, and Abigail. This is the city where we minister in Bathurst, New Brunswick. When we got there in 2008, one of the first things we did was start a church service in our living room. We was there for about 3 or 4 months, and then we'd moved to the senior center and started having services there. In the spring of 2009, we had Get Acquainted services with Baptist Church Planting Ministries with Dr. Earl Jessup. And during that time, we was able to get 15,000 John Romans into homes throughout our community. And with the help of about 5 churches within Canada, the first 2 weeks when we was having this, we was able to knock on 95% of the doors in our community and personally hand them some type of gospel literature. This is a little fellowship time afterwards, but then in June of that year, a group come up from Maryland, and we was able to have a vacation Bible school and revival. This is one of the young men from Maryland dealing with a young local boy. Then it was amazing for us, come fall of that year, we'd been praying and asking God to help us with a building fund because we'd been looking for a building and didn't have any prospects, and I challenged our church to pray for God to give us $20,000 in our building fund. And this started on July 1st, 2009, and I challenged our church to pray and ask that he would give it to us by January 1st of 2010. And praise God, he gave us $20,061.68. And so in that fall, when this building come up for sale, we was able to buy it. Now, when I wrote the check for this building, it's 3.5 acres, 4,800 square foot building with a baseball field that's growed up and an ice rink that's growed up. When I wrote the check, I wrote the check for $5,068. Lawyers' fees, taxes, price of the building and land, everything. God was just amazing working this out. For a church in Canada to start out with their own building and have it paid for is really unheard of. But God worked in a miraculous way. This is ended up being turned into our nursery. But one of the first things we did before, this was actually before I signed the papers. We got up on the roof and started ripping the roof off. If you could tell there's actually more shingles on the ground than on the roof. It was in bad shape. And so immediately we started working on the roof. And God had 2 families that were church help ministries sitting in Moncton, New Brunswick, doing nothing when we bought the building. And God worked in a miraculous way. They had no idea. Listen, I didn't even have an idea we was buying a building until a week before. And so God had them sitting there waiting just to be able to come up and put a roof on our building. And we got that done in about a day and a half. And then we began turning our focus towards the inside of the building. You can see some of the people that's been with us all along. And this is what the building looked like in beginning of 2010. Our entryway coming in, our auditorium with our chairs. Now this, listen, this is not our church. Those are not our drums. I just want to clarify that. We had rented a building, a local church building, so we could do some baptisms before we had our first church service in our new building. And it was quite a feat. We baptized 7. This is actually a deaf man and his wife that we had led to the Lord in those first few weeks, and some other lady who actually come to our survey trip when we was up there and her son. Now, this is not a short man. This guy is actually 6'4", about 280 pounds. You say, why is he kneeling? Because when they filled the baptistry, it was about 3 foot deep, but when we got there, it was 15 inches deep. So I'm trying to baptize a 6'4" guy, 280 pounds, in 15 inches of water. So that's why he is kneeling. Needless to say, we decided that we was not going to use that place anymore. The guy on the right was the guy I was trying to baptize. And so you can see him standing up there. This was after we had a dinner after our first services. It was tremendous. We took our initial church membership in our brand new building that we owed nothing on. And that was just a miracle of God and what he was been doing in there in Bathurst. But Satan reared his ugly head come the next fall or next spring. If any of you remember, we had written about our building flooding. One Saturday morning, I walked in to the basement, and there were 6 inches of water everywhere. And we thought, oh, no, what's going to happen? The thing is, we wasn't going to be able to fix up our basement because we just didn't have the money to be able to do it. But God said it was time, and so our insurance paid for it all. And we got a new basement out of it, new cabinets, new walls. This is our fellowship hall. Then shortly after that, me and some of the men in the church got together and we built a pulpit. And then God gave us a baby grand piano. God has just been tremendously good to us over the years. Every Tuesday night we have a discipleship class. This is one of the classes that we had where I just bring in the people who want to come and just teach them Bible doctrine. Answer questions. We got a lot of new Christians that know very little about the Bible, and so we try to teach them and help them grow in the Lord. This puppet stage that we use for VBS and kids things was donated to us. This is the VBS from 2010. It's been a blessing. We've been able to have about 34 kids every year in our VBS, and what was so blessing about it, last year we had the first family come as a result of VBS, and 5 of the 6 has since got saved. One of the other things we started out doing was an old-fashioned Sunday, and as you can tell from some of these pictures, the ladies really get into it. I try to always emphasize to our people sticking to the old paths and the old ways, and so we just did an old-fashioned Sunday, and they decided they was going to make bonnets and dresses and everything. Just as a reminder, every year, hey, it's not about some newfangled way. It's about God's way and the old paths. We also started having a ladies' jubilee there in our church, and we've had it every year. If you notice, the ladies on the right, they are signing. One thing that you have helped us to be able to do, when we went into Moncton, New Brunswick, for the first 4 months before we went to Bathurst, we helped a church start a deaf ministry. As a result of that, that church now runs anywhere from 10 to 14 every Sunday deaf in their deaf ministry. As a result of that, several churches down in the Nova Scotia area have began to start deaf ministry. One of them I just read a note on. They're running 8 to 10 every Sunday in their deaf ministry, and the assistant pastor is starting a class-type lesson for anyone in Nova Scotia to help other churches be able to start it. So that's been a big blessing in our ministry. One thing that happened in 2010 is we had some people in the community, because it was an old community center, dance hall slash bar that we had bought. They said, doesn't it feel awkward to go to church in a bar? So we prayed about it, and we asked God to help us get a steeple, to try to break the looks of the old building, to let people know, hey, this is not a bar anymore, this is a church. And we assembled it there in the basement, or built it in the basement, and then began to just hand carry it up to the roof and assemble it on the roof. As you can see, we had several men there helping us. And within about 4 hours, we had it up. And that's what the building looks like today, minus the snow right now. Then 2011, we was able to have baptisms again. This time we decided to go down to the river. And this was in mid-August of 2011. And this gentleman right here, when he came out of the water, he looked at me and said, Pastor, he said, that water is too cold to be doing this. And that was as hot as it was going to get. That was as good as it was going to get. So we started praying and asking God to be able to give us a baptistry, and he did. We was able to have this baptistry made there locally, and we installed it last fall, and we've been able to have two separate baptisms. These is actually a granddaughter and her grandmother, a native, who got saved last year. And that's been a blessing for us in our church. And then the last project, or one of the last projects we did in January of this year, God has enabled us to start a platform. One reason is because every time I would preach, I'm kind of a mobile preacher. And you could see everybody. They was always doing this. Why? Because they was having to look around everybody's head to be able to follow me. And so it was a blessing to some of the ladies in our church. They said, "Pastor, now my neck doesn't hurt so much. I can follow you without having to look around people." And Clarence there, he was busy helping us. And these men, I tell you, have been a blessing in our church all along. And this is what it looks like today. This is one of our recent services we just had. And the family in the back, I just want to spotlight them for a second. If you can look on our display, we've got pictures of a soul winning class that we had to try to train people. We've had a different one besides that one, but that was the only one I had pictures of. The lady there in the center, Miss Evelyn, she's been with us all along, and she's become a real strong soul winner. And she was witnessing at work. The lady in the back row there, Miss Sarah, when she started working with her, Miss Evelyn handed her track and witnessed to her there a second. She got on our website and watched me preach, and praise the Lord, she watched me preach and still come to church. And since they started coming about 6 weeks ago, they've been faithful, and pray for them, because most people up there do not have a Sunday school or a Sunday night service. And so anybody that's ever went to church, all they're used to is a Sunday morning, and when they start out, that's all they'll attend. But God has really worked. If we had everybody, like any church will ever say, if you had everybody that ever come through your doors, we would have to put up extra chairs to be able to continue. But the last thing we prayed for, that God answered the prayer back in February, we'd been praying for God to give us a bus. Myself, I go out with my truck. My wife goes out with the van. Miss Evelyn goes out with her car, and Claude goes out with his car. And every week, over half of our church we bring in, because at least 30% of the people in Bathurst have no vehicles. Most of them don't even have a driver's license. And so a lot of people that we run into want to come to church, but they have to have someone to bring them. There's been a couple of weekends where we had to tell people, we just don't have enough people to bring you. That happened last fall. And so we began to pray and ask God. And listen, God miraculously give us that bus. And the people in our church said, "Pastor, God give us the bus, but how are we going to put insurance on it or gas?" And I said, "Listen, God give us the bus. God's going to make a way for everything else. He didn't give it to us for to sit and rust." And so we're just praying and trusting God. I try to teach our people attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And so far, I think you can see from the pictures, God has allowed us to accomplish a lot in a short time in the ministry. It's because of the people who are getting faithful. We have two ladies that goes out with us faithfully, door knocking. My youngest son, Clarence, who you see here, he started what he calls the No Excuses Ministry. And what that is he takes John Romans, a personal invite, and a track, and he's going around door to door making sure they have no excuse when they stand before God. And listen, all we can do is be faithful to give the gospel out and do what God wants us to do. And as you can see, God is blessed and just increasing what we have and what we're able to do there in Bathurst. And without churches like you, none of this would be possible. And so we thank you for your support, and everything that God is doing is just miraculous. Listen, I could slow down. I know that might be a little long. There's so much I'd love to be able to say about the ministry and show you what God's doing, and talk to you about Miss Marie Ange, who is a French lady who came, went through our soul winning class. You can see her back there on one of the pictures. And matter of fact, she was the one in the purple outfit on Old Fashioned Sunday. And she's just got a burden for people. In the past month and a half, she's led two ladies to the Lord in her assisted living home there. About 4 months ago, she led her sister to the Lord, and her sister's growing. Pray for her sister, please. Miss Denise, her husband will not let her come to church. He's a diehard Catholic. Have you ever heard of people getting ostracized? If you come to our church, you get ostracized from your family. And that's just the way it is, the mentality up there. And so if you would, pray for Miss Denise. She wants to come. She wants to come to our Bible study. God's letting her grow on her own. We're kind of backdoor teaching her some things, but I'd really like to see her get in church, see her husband get saved, and really begin to grow in the Lord. Amen. Well, let's take our Bible and turn to Matthew and chapter number 2. I know this is kind of a strange passage, but about 16 months ago, God showed me something that really helped my ministry. It helped me in my ministry. And if you would take this one lesson I'm going to try to get across to you tonight and follow it in your life, it'll help you in your ministry as a Christian, no matter what God has you to do. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, and they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as we come to this, your message tonight, dear Lord, I pray that you would just take and set me aside for a few minutes tonight. Fill me full of your Spirit. Give me unction and power from on high as I preach. I pray for each and every person here that their heart and mind would be open to your word. We thank you for their faithfulness to be able to come out on a Wednesday night. But dear God, we stand in need of hearing from you, and I pray that you would just bless and strengthen in all that is said and done, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and amen. There's many times in life we are told, or we think of things that a lot of times we think they're scriptural, but when you start studying the Bible and looking closely at what the Bible says, you find out that there's no Bible basis to what we're taught. I can remember my grandmother back years ago. We were sitting in a Bible study, and she said, well, one of the best verses she liked was, "Cleanliness was next to godliness." And we kind of paused for a second. It's like, Grandma, that verse is not in the Bible. She goes, it's not. You see, a lot of times we get in our mind just because maybe we've seen something or listen, they got those little nativities out there and they got the three wise men coming to Christ and kneeling at the manger and giving Christ gifts at the manger. And you see stories and stuff of how the wise men followed the star all the way to Jesus. But when you slow down and read the Bible and look at what the Bible says something totally different. First of all, the Bible says that there came wise men, in verse number 1, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't say how many there are. It says they give them treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, three gifts. But wait a second. Each wise man could have given them all three. The Bible doesn't say. We just say three gifts, three men. That's the way it has to be. But you don't have any Bible basis for it because it's just wise men plural. It could have been two men. It could have been a dozen men. We don't know. But also, when you slow down and look at the Bible, notice in verse number 2, it says, where is he? Now, if they was following a star all the way from the east to Jesus, why in the world would they ask, where is he? Unless they had a Garmin GPS they was following, then they'd probably come up and say, listen, this thing's got me lost again. Where do I need to go? I don't know about you, but those GPS units drive me crazy. They get me lost all the time. One time I was going to a preacher's meeting, and it took me down a back road and got me hung up, and I didn't make the meeting. But these wise men, when they got to Jerusalem, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Does it sound like they knew where they was going? I don't think so. Why would they have had to ask? But also, notice how they phrase this phrase in verse number 2. He says, for we have seen his star in the east. You know, if you slow down and you look at the very verbs and everything that's in the Scripture, you can get a lot of good doctrine and dig gold nuggets out of the Word of God. It says, we have seen. That is past tense. In other words, they said, somewhere back in the time past, we saw a star proclaiming his birth. That's basically what they're saying. Also, look in verse number 9. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw. Saw is past tense, in the east. And so here they're now at Jerusalem. They've left the king. They stepped out, and boom, there's that star again. The same one that they'd saw back in the east previously. Also, notice in verse number 10, it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, wait a second. If they was following it all along, why would they rejoice now? The reason is because they weren't following it all along. And by the way, it says there in verse 11 that they went to the house and not the manger. I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, When the Star Doesn't Shine. You see, what I believe happened, and I'm going to walk for time's sake, we're going to just kind of, in our mind's eye, walk through some scripture and look at some people. But if we stopped and looked at everything about them and all the verses, we'd be here all night. But I want to try to bring this all together and then pull out a point, an application that I think if you will follow and use in your Christian life, it will help you in your Christian walk as it has helped me. So we'll start over here in the east. Remember, back 400 plus years before this, there was a captivity where some men were taken out of Jerusalem into Babylon. And there was one man in this group named Daniel. Daniel prophesied about the coming of the Christ. He prophesied specifically when he would come. I believe those men in the east, the Magi, probably kept some of these writings of Daniel and followed it, and they were looking for that star Because evidently they knew what the star was, because the Bible says they saw the star and they went to Jerusalem. Now, why did they go to Jerusalem? First of all, think about this. Let's put it in our context. If you wanted to go see Mr. Obama, now listen, don't laugh. You might not want to go see him, but I'm just using this for illustration. If you wanted to go see him, where would you go? Washington, D.C., right? Why? Because that's where he's supposed to be. That is the capital of the U.S., right? So if you're going to see the king of the Jews, where would you naturally go? Jerusalem. Because that's the capital of Israel, right? That's the reason they went to Jerusalem. So these men, they saw the star. Now I want you to think about something. This was a long, long time ago. How many can figure out it was before McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Burger King, or anything like that? Well, if they didn't have McDonald's and all those things, it's pretty easy to figure out they probably had to take some food with them, right? Now, these kings, they were taking treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, very valuable stuff. Wouldn't it stand to reason that they probably took soldiers with them? So these kings had to get a caravan together. They had to get their gold and all their treasures. They had to get their food and stuff. By the way, they didn't have American Airlines, so they had to get the camels and the donkeys and the 2 feet ready to go. And as I studied and look at it, east, we know they were Magi, and Magi come from the Persian area, which is now modern-day Iran. And if you look at how they traveled up around the Fertile Crescent all the way down into Israel, they probably traveled somewhere around 1,200 miles. With an average of 20 miles a day, which is what they say that they would have traveled back then, you can pretty well guess it took them a little while to get there. So they had to get everything together, get all their provisions and stuff and their men ready, and then walk and take this journey to be able to get over to Jerusalem, and it took them some time. What they did is a choice that you and I have to make. Sometimes God shows you something in your life that He wants you to do. He shows you that star, if you will, and you have a choice, okay? God said He wanted me, I'm going to use myself as an example, to be able to go to Bathurst, New Brunswick. Now, when God showed me that in 1998 at the National Sword of the Lord Conference, I had a choice to make. I could say, well, okay, God, You've showed me You wanted me to do this. Now, You take Your flashlight, You shine it on my path, and You guide me the whole way. Or I had the choice, well, that sounds good, God, but I'm just going to go back home. Or I had the choice to just follow God and what He's shown me He wanted me to do. You see, these wise men had the same choice. God showed them the star, and they could have said, well, that was great. We know the Messiah is born. He'll be okay over there. Or they could have said, well, we'll just stand around here and see if God tells us something else to do. We know He's born now. Maybe God will tell us and lead us every step of the way that we need to go. Or what they did is they decided, hey, we need to go see this king. God showed us this star for a reason. We've been waiting on this star, and we're just going to go, and we really don't know where to go, so we'll just go to Jerusalem, where the king should be. You see, I as I studied this and began to think about it and apply some things to my life, I realized God doesn't show you every step of the way when He puts you on a path. He puts you on a path and says, follow Me. You say, well, God, where am I going to go? If you're like me, you want God to take His spiritual flashlight and shine it down on your path and show you every single step you're going to take. Wouldn't that be good, brother? God show you a building program, and He shows you every obstacle you're going to have to go through and all the loops you have to jump through. I'm sure in this city you got to jump through a bunch of them to be able to do anything. And God shows you every single thing, every single headache, every single complaint before it ever happens. Wouldn't that be great? No, if that happened, we'd probably get out of the ministry. But what God says, He says, and I understand just in a year or so, you did the front of this building. He says, hey, I want you to spruce up my house, do a little something to the front. He doesn't show you everything you got to go through. And I'm sure there was hiccups and everything along the way on it. There always is. But what God does, he wants to see if you're going to remain faithful and obedient to him. That's what these magi had to do. And as I began to think about this, I began to think, well, does God do this in other places in the Bible? So I began to think about Abraham. Abraham we're introduced to in Genesis chapter number 12, and the Bible says that he calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He was to leave his father's house and his kindred and go to a land that he was going to show him, and he would make him a multitude of nations. Now, they say Abraham was somewhere around 75 at that time. But you know, from 75 to 99 or 100, you only find about four or five times where God actually spoke to Abraham. 25 years of his life, Abraham just had to walk and follow God and trust in God and allow God to do and fulfill the things in his life. You know, Abraham probably about 90 was scratching his head. Sarai never had a child. Sarai gave him her handmaid, Hagar, had Ishmael, but that was not God's plan. God didn't tell him to do that. You see, I figured out in Abraham's life, God said go, and he just had to follow him by faith. That's what you and I have to do. We have to, when God shows us something to do in our lives, we just have to follow God by faith and trust that God is going to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish. Now, we don't know how he's going to do it. We don't know how we're going to get from point A to point B or what's in between on the road, but we just follow God by faith. And you see, what happened to these wise men is they got to Jerusalem, they come out from the king's house, and God showed them the star once again. Now there's cause for rejoicing and for excitement because they're saying, we're on the right path. We did the right thing. We're going the right way. You know, a lot of times in ministry, that's the way it is. At least in my ministry, when we're up there, listen, before I even went, I don't know if you can still find my old packet around here or not, but I had a list of phases of things that I wanted to see God accomplish in our ministry. Things that I felt God put on my heart to be able to do. They're on our church website. I still got them there. And matter of fact, our last couple of prayer letters we sent out, I checked off things that God had accomplished in our ministry. But in our ministry, as God would fulfill some of these things, it was like he was taking and shining that star again, saying, you're on the right path. You're going the right way. Keep going. Keep going. I'm going to bless you if you stay faithful, if you remain faithful and do what I've asked you to do. Man, when I got a hold of this 16 months ago and realized that, hey, this is a biblical principle. This is how God works. I didn't feel so alone now in the ministry. I felt like Abraham did. Listen, Abraham went 25 years before he had that child of promise. But I began to think, and I wanted to see if God did more people like that. So I started thinking about Joseph. Remember in Genesis 37, we're introduced to a 17-year-old boy who the Bible says he dreamed a dream. And then a few verses later, it says he dreamed another dream. And if you know your stories about Joseph, he dreamed the first dream that him and his brothers was in the field. They were binding their sheaves. They set them up right before each of them. And his brother's sheaves bowed down or prostrated themselves to his. In other words, showing that he was going to be in authority over his brethren. Can you imagine? Do we got anybody 17 in here? One, two, three. You got older brothers and sisters? Wouldn't you like to have a dream where they was bowing down to you? You'd get excited, huh? Yeah. Don't you think Joseph might have got a little stirred up about that a little bit? But then all of a sudden, he's in a pit. It's like, God, where'd this dream go? He went from the pit to Potiphar's house. Then he met Potiphar's wife, and oh, did that thing go bad. He went from there to the prison, and oh, for 13 years of his life, He's asking God. Listen, I don't know if he did this. If I would have been him, I'd have been asking God, where's my dream? Where's that star you showed me? You give me a star in my life and something I'm looking forward to. But we know Joseph stayed faithful. He followed God no matter where he was at, even in the prison. Because the Bible says the Lord was with him. But for 13 years of his life, it looked like that star was destroyed. And then all of a sudden, there's that little star again. Poof. He's standing before Pharaoh. He interprets the Pharaoh dream, and the Pharaoh makes him governor of all of Egypt. He's like, wait, man, I would have rejoiced. I would have had a happy fit about that. Then it was another 7 years till the famine started, and maybe 1 or 2 years before his brothers actually came down to be able to buy grain. So it could have been 21, 22 years before he seen that star fulfilled that he saw back when he was 17 years old. He just had to stay faithful and true to God. No matter what things that life threw at him, he just had to trust God and follow him. Then I think of David. Most Bible scholars think he was around 17 years old when he was anointed king by Samuel. You know, there was only one problem with that anointing. There was already a king. The position was already taken. And the Bible says, when you go back and you read the story of David through 2 Samuel, man, he's being, or 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, he's being chased by Saul. He's running for his life. When you read the Psalms that David wrote, a lot of them is talking about how he's weary for his life, how he's praying that God would take care of his enemies. There comes a time in his life, if you remember when he was rejected by the Philistines to go to war with them against Israel, that he goes back to his city and his family, the kids of everybody had been taken by the Amalekites. The men that was with him was ready to stone him. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Can you imagine? Lord, you said I would be king and they're my own men's about to stone me. How low do you think he felt? Do you think he wondered, whatever happened to this star that you showed me, Lord? I've tried to be faithful and follow you, and it looks like it's about to end with that, without it ever coming about. And then, at age 37, 20 years later, he's finally anointed in Hebron over the southern kingdom. You know, after I got done thinking about those three men and looking at the passage there in Matthew and looking at what the Bible teaches, I realized God does this more than a lot of people think about. I don't know if you've ever realized that, but it caught me a little bit by surprise when I seen that and just really shined a light in my ministry and said, listen, that's what I'm doing with you. I give you a dream of things that I want you to be able to accomplish there in Bathurst. And as I'm going along being faithful, trying to do what God wants me to do, every once in a while God will give me a little star and say, you're on the right path. You're going the right way. Just keep up the good work. Just before I left Canada to be able to come down here, God gave me another star. This bus. I mean, I would have never thought we'd have had a bus, and we're less than 4 years old as a church. I never thought we'd had a building of our own, because I know many missionaries up there 20, 25 years still renting and everything. But God gave us a building. God did so many miraculous things. It's just like he keeps shining his star, flashing a different star, saying, keep going, keep going. I'm not finished with you yet. There's been times in our ministry where I thought I was going to be out of Canada. If you've read over the last 2 years about the permanent residence, there was a time where literally week to week, the people would come in and say, Pastor, did you get a letter? They come in wondering if I was even going to be there, because we didn't know if they was going to send us a letter and say, get out. Now, praise, listen, after I got a hold of this, I started telling our people, listen, God didn't give us this building. God hasn't done all of this stuff for me to get kicked out of the country and you guys to be left without a pastor. I don't believe God did all that for that. I think God just keeps shining me a little star saying, you're going to be okay. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. Right before we come down here, a young fella from South Carolina emailed me and said, Brother Rob, I feel God's calling me to be able to go to Campbellton and start a church. Man, we've been praying for that city since 1998. I got seven cities that I've been praying about. We helped start a church in Edmundston back a year and a half ago. There's another man who's there now helping Brother Matt in Edmundston, who's going to be coming down to our church this weekend and looking in the area out around Bathurst to be able to start a French church. That's a second one. Then this guy calls and says he thinks God wants him to go to Campbellton. That's three of the seven, and we've only been there 5 years with Bathurst. God is starting to move in New Brunswick. He's starting to do something and open doors for churches to be started. And listen, I get excited about that. If you knew how dead and dry Canada is to the gospel, if you could think of it like this, in the area you live, the Bible Belt, there's more saved people here. And the more saved people they are, we know the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, right? And so, where there's more saved people, there's more of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Make sense? Because He's indwelling the believers, right? I hope if you're here and saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But up there, we don't have very many saved people, so we don't have as much presence affecting people's lives. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I have met some demon-possessed people in Bathurst. It is a very needy area. But God keeps showing me these stars. He keeps saying, keep going. I'm not done with you. Application, we'll be done. What star has God shown you in your life? I love it when I heard your preacher talk about, I seen that display out there, and he talked about that list, said, you want a place to get plugged in? Right there, go out there and look. Maybe some of you has already looked at it and God highlighted something on that list. You had three choices to make when you looked at that. What choice did you make? You say, but I don't know if I'm qualified to be able to do it. Listen, I don't think I was qualified to be able to go to Canada. But God made a way. Hey, He's looking for availability, not ability. If you make yourself available, He will make you able. What's God speaking to your heart about? You've got buses out there. You've got Sunday school classes. You've got bus kids running around that need somebody to help keep them under control. You say, but brother, if I knew how everything would go, I'd go ahead and do it. That's not what God's waiting for. He's waiting for you to sign that blank sheet. You see, we come to God and we say, God, this is what I want to do. Write out a list. Hand it to God and say, pick one, God. No, God wads that thing up and throws it over in the corner. He wants you wholly. He wants you to sign a blank sheet of paper and say, fill it in, God. What do you want me to do? Evidently, the brother's got a lot of things to be able to do because he's got a big list out there of things, that ministries that you can get involved in. You know, tonight, God's speaking to someone. With a crowd this big, I wouldn't doubt if God's not speaking to several people, saying, follow me. Do this. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit back tonight and say, well, I'll let somebody else do it? No, God's knocking at your door. He's saying, follow me. I want you. I need you in the bus ministry. I need you in Sunday school. I can't remember. I can see it. There's about 30 or 40, 60 things out there on his wall. There's something for everybody to do. We just have to be able to wave that white flag and say, God, I'm yours. Even though I can't see the light, I can't see that path, you show me what I need to do, and I'm just going to follow you. Will you make that decision tonight just to follow him, no matter what it is? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it just reveals things to us. And we pray, dear God, that you would touch hearts and lives here. And dear God, that you would help people to make decisions for you tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you as the pastor comes to do the invitation.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through as soon as they get prepared. You've heard a great challenge tonight. How's the Lord using it in your life? You've heard me say that God blesses obedience. That's what this dear man of God is preaching. Just be willing to obey whatever it is. And as you're willing to obey, God reveals more and more to you. But why would he reveal more to us if we don't obey the light he's already given us, you see? Light obeyed increases light. Light disobeyed increases darkness. I don't know how the Lord's using this. Maybe he's using your life. If he is, come talk to him about it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it. Thank you for the star that you shine in our life. Help us to be faithful to follow what you've given us. To the ends of the earth, help us truly to follow you, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is dealing with you, you come now as he sings. Would you do that?
I can hear my Savior calling.
If God is speaking to you,
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear.
Faithful missionary family right there, friends. It's our privilege to support people like that. Hope you'll go by and speak to them. Remind you of a couple of things here. Two or three things will be gone. Brother Bob needs to meet with anybody who's interested in helping set up the garage sale down here by the organ. He also needs help loading the trailer with the items from downstairs. And I do remind you about the wall out there. Even if you don't take time to look at it, at least glance at it tonight. And what you'll notice out there, there are 10 larger plaques and then smaller plaques under it. For instance, the Sunday school is a larger plaque. Underneath that, it has the different things that you can get involved in, like a Sunday school superintendent, a teacher, a greeter, a group captain, things like that. The displays on the side correspond with the large plaques. So if you're interested in anything in Sunday school, pick up the Sunday school sheet. It's got it at the top of it. Pick it up, take it home, read it. You've got questions, you've got an interest in getting involved, at the bottom it says, see Pastor Jody, you come to me, I'll give you instructions how you can get involved, okay? Some of the things, there are further training, different things like that. That's just introducing you to the ministries out there. And my purpose in it is that board consistently has things added to it. we're adding all the time. And that board is not made so you look at it, and say, I can't do all of this. You got it. I know you can. Do one thing. Because we're laboring together with God. And if you do your part and I do my part and we all do our part, everything on that board plus is going to be finished and accomplished. You get it? It's not about you looking at it and saying, oh, I've got to get that. No. You find the one thing God wants you to do. And every one of those ministries, every one of them, the purpose is trying to reach people. Even ushering, the purpose for ushers is you ought to be soul winning ushers. You ought to be reaching people even as you usher here, because I look at everything out there on that board as leaders in this church. So if you're an usher, you're a leader, which means you need to be out soul winning, telling people about Christ. All these, I'm excited about that. We've been working on it a long time, still working on some packets that we're preparing for it, but I hope you'll take advantage of it out there and look at it, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless this time. Bless this precious missionary and his family. Encourage them, I pray. Help us to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're coming to the meeting with Bob, you come this direction real quickly, please.